Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This meeting is being recorded.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it on live. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we repping for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 podcast. Ready to ride again. For another season. We back, baby. You thought we were going anywhere? Hell no! You thought we were going to replace any of these hosts with another host and just keep doing the show? No way! No way! It's me, Brett, the most passionate fan. And producer Katie over there laughing as usual. Okay. I guess not. And of course, our Seahawks legend, number one in our hearts, number 51 in your playbooks, Lofa Tatupu. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, brother?
How we doing, man? I feel like, hold on, I'm super loud. You're quiet. Hold on.
Really?
I gotta figure this thing out. Yeah. It's been a minute. Keep going, though. How you doing, bud?
Good, man. Greatest time of the year, the draft, went in the off season. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure we'll get to it.
Yeah. But yeah,
I really like what we did.
Okay, all right, but that's football. All right. Oh, okay. And the thing is people tune in to Take 12 because we've become a family around here, you know? And so we got to get to know like just how you're doing in the time since the Seahawks last game and since the coaching change and everything like that. Like are you staying busy and just like, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
All right.
Yeah. Good. Everything's blessed, man. Okay. Grateful. Good. As always.
All right. Good. That's good.
How are you, Brett?
I'm still fighting with little leaguers on the field daily.
Really?
Oh, I love these little rascals. Hey, actually, you know what? Last night, triple play in our game.
No way.
Yes.
How old?
They are 9 and 10. It was an amazing play, once in a lifetime type deal. We're playing defense and my boy is out there pitching. And so I think he's like only 5 pitches into the first inning or something, but the first kid hit one, drops into the outfield, he's on first. Second kid hits one, drops in the outfield, he's now on first. The other kid's on second. Third batter of the game, and like I said, I think it's only been 5 pitches. Coach Brett is nervous already, right? However, third batter up, hits a line drive towards first base. Our first baseman, our first baseman snags it out of the air. Of course, both of their base runners had taken off because it's Little League. So he snags the line drive, steps on first. Me and my assistant coach in unison yell, two! and he just fires to second. And this, the shortstop was covering. He's standing on the base. And so you got a 3-6 triple play in Little League. And the ball didn't even hit the ground. It was very impressive.
Man, the wherewithal for him to snag it, step on the base, and then go, you know, that's...
He's got a hell of a coach. Age,
it must have been a hell of a coach, yeah.
I looked at all the parents. I was like, I taught them everything they know. No,
actually,
it was incredible.
You know what? I'm coaching flag football right now, and so we had a doubleheader. Never heard of that in football.
Whoa. The league would be against that, or at least the players' union.
Bro, I was tired. I mean, they're kids, so they can run all day. But sure. We won the first game, 24-6. I was a little mad at my defense for giving up the shutout. We had them. Missed like 7 tackles. And I was like, fellas, we literally just had to make the tackle. It's all we had to do.
Yeah, but flag though, right? I mean, flag's kind of.
Yeah, it was a great effort by the kid.
Yeah.
He was a beast.
That's tricky, but I mean, grabbing that flag sometimes.
I mean, it's a want to. It's an effort thing that we're dealing with here. All right.
All right. I like it.
So we get to the next game, and this other team's undefeated. And, you know, I think my buddy who's the head coach, he's like, hey, man, these guys are good. They're undefeated. He's trying to, like, hype them up to, like, not be complacent because we got real complacent in that last game.
Okay.
And, you know, we jump out 19-6 at halftime. And we scored – first play of the game, scored another 2 touchdowns. We made one conversion, 1-point conversion. So it's 19-6. We get to the third or second half. It's 2 halves. And I was like, hey, ref, time check and score check. He's like, we're tied at 12. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 chief.
Whoa, hold
on. We scored
3
touchdowns. Yeah. And yeah. So he was trying to, you know, kill us with that one.
Uh-oh.
And then the other coach was like, I got 18-12. And I was like, I mean, that sounds closer, but we did have one conversion.
What? Where's the scorekeeper in this?
I was horrified. Yeah. And livid. I was, you know, first time I ever yelled at an official.
Oh, no.
But so again, everything's going good. But then, you know, coach asked, hey, should we go to single high safety? Because they're not really taking anything deep. It's, you know, because I'm playing too high. Keep everything in front. Just make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
It's working.
Mm-hmm.
The first play I go to single high, they throw an absolute bomb.
Oh, no.
For a touchdown. Tie ball game.
We stopped the 2-point.
Well, so this was my – okay, this was my gripe at the end of the game.
Though. Yeah.
I go, okay, because if you're going for 2, you're 10 yards out. If you're going for 1, you're 5 yards out. They went for 2. And so I looked across to the coach who was smiling. I was like – you know we're up 1. That's why you're going for 2. And even the ref didn't hear me, and I was like, this is hilarious. So, like, yeah, I knew it was on, man.
How
and
did
then,
it end?
So we both go to the official at the end of the game. I go, hey, we're not ending in a tie, right? I did appreciate this by the other coach. He's like, yeah, we're overtime, right?
Right.
And the official goes, no, 2 halves. If it's tied, it's tied. And, you know, we were just, me and him were looking at each other like, no. So I was like, I'll see you in the parking lot and your team. He started laughing, but they're a good team. We'll see him again.
Yeah.
We'll see him again in the playoffs.
Oh, it's fun. That's fun. We, just, you know, a tie, hey, nobody loses. And yeah, you get to play again. So, yeah,
so
interesting.
Gross.
Funny. Well, anyway, welcome to Take 12, everybody. The show is proudly brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all of your summer sports this season for MLB, golf, NBA playoffs, which are currently underway, the NHL playoffs, which are also currently underway. If you're making any bets, do it with Bet Online. All of the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines and matchups and player props and all of that. Head to the website today or use your mobile app for all of the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. So it's a Seahawks show, so we got to talk about the Hawks. And it was the draft, and as Lofa said, it's one of the happiest times and also one of the times that I think everybody sort of overreacts to, if I'm honest, because how the hell do we know much of anything? All these guys had great college careers, and then they ran around in their underwear and lifted some weights. And, you know, we'll see what happens in the pros.
A true test of how you can play football.
Yeah. So the Seahawks here. Let's get into it. Round one, number 16, everybody was speculating on what was going to happen there. Would they go Michael Penix? Would he even be there? Would it be J.J. McCarthy? People were thinking quarterback, you know, on deep recesses of the internet or right in plain view, actually, mostly. But Lofa, they end up going D.T. With Byron Murphy II, the big dude from Texas, who, look away, Washington fans, I think scored a touchdown against us in the playoff game or a two-point conversion. He ran one in. They went refrigerator with him, Lofa.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of excited about that. But how excited or not are you about Byron Murphy II at that pick and all that? I mean, he's a heck of a player, but is that who you wanted, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, extremely excited. He's a monster.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need monsters in the trenches. So I was surprised he was still there, to be honest. I thought he'd be top 10.
Uh-huh.
But the run on quarterbacks happened, you know, and like you said, even Penix, you know, I was puzzled by that pick. Stoked for Penix, but
we'll get into the rest of the draft later.
Okay.
Yeah. That was
a hot topic when it happened.
Oh, well, and we were in Washington territory, and you know, I'm a dog fan. Yeah. So we'll definitely get into it, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. But Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the player you need and want at that position and where we got him. So thrilled to get that guy. I've always said it. Even we had a Seahawks draft party at Queen Anne Beer Hall and my man G Scott, we were talking, it's all about the trenches, man.
Yeah.
It makes everybody's life easier. Like when you're a linebacker and you're playing behind a guy like Murphy, it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm so pumped about this one. I mean, definitely an area of need, I would say, on any team. And so it getting just a guy like this who just everyone says just, you know, nasty, a beast, you know, just I mean, like, and you said should have been a top 10 pick probably, had it not been for what happened there. But so super pumped about this one. Seems like a I mean, we know we got a defensive-minded head coach now, right? Not that Pete wasn't, but I'm just saying this guy definitely is, and the Baltimore thing and all that and connections there. And so this seems to fit that mold, and I couldn't be more excited for it. And also the fact that he might run in a few from short yardage is fun, right?
Speaking of run, I think we ran the same 40 time.
Oh, really?
My God. Wow. These athletes gotten so impressive. I think he ran like a 4.85 or something. I think that's what I ran too. And he's 300 pounds. I was 240.
I should have been prepared with all the quick combine stuff, but I don't know. I don't exactly have it here. But anyway, round number three. We had to wait a while till our next pick, which is sometimes why the draft is just sort of a snooze fest for me. I'm like, what? We don't pick for another 110 picks or something. You know what I mean? But anyway, round number three, pick 81 overall. So I don't know. It wasn't too much longer. But Christian Haynes, a guard out of the mighty football school of Connecticut.
Yeah, I like this pick too.
Okay.
Again, trenches, offensive line. I said we needed probably a guard.
Yep.
With who we lost in the offseason. So I'm excited. And when I watched his highlights, man, he was just nasty. And I think that's what the Hawk fans are going to love about both of these picks, our first two picks. They just play with that edge that you need. Mm. You know, you need guys that just want to destroy people in the trenches. And so, yeah, he looked like a great athlete, can move well. Did great job pulling around, you know, the tackle on powers and counters, and yeah, great athlete and just nasty.
Yeah, the John Schneider, the direct quote here from Schneider and McDonald is classy and nasty. So we got McNasty here, but this guy's classy nasty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there he is. There's McNasty.
Classy, nasty McNasty.
Yeah. So from now on take 12, Haynes is classy, nasty. That's the quote.
I like it.
Some more things about him. I have some more interesting things. You said athlete. He sure is. Haynes' brother is linebacker Marcus Haynes, who spent time on the Broncos practice squad. So the whole family has been in the NFL now, I think, or whatever. Let's see. Also, has dreams of opening a restaurant someday when his playing days are over.
Nice.
Yeah. Right, I'm not on. Making this stuff up either, by the way. I found some draft stuff. He enjoys fishing and being in the community and is a huge fan of Geno Smith, which is good because he's going to be protecting him, right? So he says, I've been a fan of Seattle just growing up. I'm a fan of Geno as well. I used to watch him a lot when he was at West Virginia. So he knows his stuff on our QB.
A true football guy. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Football guy.
Yeah.
McNasty.
Where
you been? We missed your thoughts on Byron Murphy II. Should we go back for a second? We got to get your perspective here.
Sure. I think he's a dog. He looks really explosive, which is lines up with him saying he wants to be the next Aaron Donald. So I'm very excited for it because he looks hungry, and I think he's going to help out the D-line a lot.
Yeah.
Which helps out the linebackers, which helps out the safeties and the corners and the nickels and the dimes and the tackling.
McNasty.
They want 11 people to tackle every single player or every single person who has the football. I love it. I'm so excited.
Fourth round, we take a linebacker, Lofa. Tyrese Knight. Yeah. Tyrese Knight, which that's like a Any Given Sunday or Friday Night Lights type character name too, by the way, for a football player, for a linebacker. But Tyrese Knight out of UTEP, Lofa, go for it. Tell us about this guy.
Yeah, I looked at a lot of linebackers, and I thought for where they got him, there was the internet, right, going crazy. They were trying to figure out, who we were going to take it then. And so there were some people or speculation. They're like, why did we go for him there? But everything I read about this kid, so very lightly recruited, went through adversity, went to community college, Independence Community College out of high school, balled out there. Right. So this kid's been through the fire.
That's what I was transferred. Yeah. Last chance you, everybody.
Yeah.
That's that school.
Then then he transfers to UTEP, becomes all conference there.
Mm-hmm.
These are the intangibles, the things that, the stats don't show. And because regardless of, whether you're a five-star All-American leaving high school or whatever, you're going to run into adversity at some point in this journey. This kid's been through it. So when it happens again, he's going to be ready for it. And watch the highlights. He makes a ton of protection, ton of tackles, a lot of production, tackles for loss. I think he had 15 and a half. Sacks, interceptions, he fills it. Forced fumbles, recovered fumbles, every stat that you want in a linebacker.
Yeah, here you go. I'll back that up with the numbers here. Led the FBS in solo tackles with 84.
Damn.
Last season at UTEP. Let's see, 15 and a half tackles for loss and 4.5 sacks, 7 passes defended, and a forced fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. When he's not on the field, Knight says he likes to spend time cooking, whether that's in the kitchen or outside on the grill.
What's his famous dish?
He says, if I cook inside, I'll cook a full course meal. If I cook outside, it's just grilled food, chicken, steak, whatever my friends feel like eating.
I want to come over.
That's a quote.
That's a good friend.
Yeah. Kick it with him. Let's do a big barbecue. That'd be fun. Maybe we should invite tight end A.J. Barner to the party. Fourth round pick, number 121 overall from the national champion. Still hurts, though. Michigan Wolverines, Lofa. Go for it on this guy. A tight end.
Yeah. We lost two tight ends, Disley, Parkinson's, mm-hmm. In free agency. Mm-hmm. So we knew there was going to be one added. Can do it all. Right. And that's what you need at that position. Someone versatile. They not just out there looking for 50, 60 targets a year, but, doing the dirty work, blocking in the trenches, helping out. So excited, and it's always good. I know it hurts, Brett, but it's always good to add a champion. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying that they're used to a certain standard.
You know. Well, and you know, all my, you know, smack talk about Harbaugh or whatever, like, he's a tough-nosed, hard-nosed coach. This guy's, you know, like, on the line blocking, doing all the tough stuff for him. And so I'll put him on my pro team for sure. He was Michael Penix's teammate at Indiana. That's just sort of a fun little fact. And he was also a Mackey Award finalist, which that's for the best tight end in the country. So if you're being nominated for that a finalist for that, then there you go. And then Lofa said, he takes great pride in his blocking. This is what I'm super excited about. The quote here, great pride. I take pride in everything I do on the football field, and everything I do on the football field, I do 110%. That's one thing you'll never question about me. I'm going to give my 100% on every play. Which, right there, he drops himself 10%. So I don't know if I can trust this guy, but but hopefully he can catch and block. No. Sorry, I cracked myself up. Next!
That was good. That was good.
Round number 5. Pick 137 overall. Nehemiah Pritchett from Auburn, a Tiger. A cornerback, Lofa, back to the defense. I feel like, I mean, McDonald's a defensive guy, clearly, and so we're loading up over there, aren't we?
Yeah. I'm not too familiar with the next four picks, not going to lie. I have to do my research on them. But, yeah, you can never have enough cover guys. Like, that. There's so many athletes at receiver these days that – and I think with Spoon's versatility, if one of these guys that we drafted two corners, we'll get to the other one, but if one of them shows that they can handle it outside, you know, on the island, because Spoon, you have to move him around everywhere. The guy can, you know, interception, sacks, he does everything. So, yeah, dude, I'm intrigued by these guys that we got on the second day or third day, I should say. Forget, I'm so old, the draft goes 3 days these days.
Well, he's fast. At the combine in the 40, he ran a 4.36.
Ooh.
That's pretty quick. Played 5 years at Auburn. So 5 years in the SEC, right? I mean, that's got to be tough right there.
SEC is the toughest division, the toughest conference.
Let's see. He was a high school baseball player, so I like that. And then I'm trying to read quick, but has 2 degrees from Auburn University. Wow. So some, you know,
good
just
for him.
Stick-to-itiveness and just, yeah, tough guy. And yeah, I like it.
What are the degrees in?
I couldn't read. Oh no, make read a whole paragraph. let's see. Wow.
2 degrees.
With a degree? Oh, here you go. I got you. Graduated in 2022 with a degree in kinesiology.
What?
And a minor in sports coaching. And because he stayed for another season, he was working toward a second undergraduate degree in the College of Liberal Arts and graduated in May of 23 from Auburn's College of Education. Whoa.
Wow.
That's a lot right there, man. Jeez. I'm just talking smack on a podcast. All right. Round number 6. By way of Washington State originally, I think, but went to Utah. It's Satoa Lemea. Did I get that?
It took me 15 years to learn my name, Chief. Don't ask me.
Okay. Pick number 179 overall. But a tackle, and I mean, dude, talk about the trenches. This guy's built, and I'm excited for this one.
How big's this guy?
Let me get you. Okay, I gotta click the link here. They don't put it right on the graphic. They totally should.
Right.
Nick
Nasty, what do you got?
Yeah, what do you got on this guy?
On Satoa?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Are you pumped? What?
Yeah, I'm excited.
One word.
I like that they
feelings.
Went trenches.
Yeah.
Satoa Lamea?
Yep.
Is that even close, Lofa? Yeah.
You must have missed everything I just said.
You don't know if it's close at least?
Six.
Sounds about right.
4. Hold on.
Yes, 6'4", 311.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm picturing probably tackle and guard. You know, not 6'4" is not short. It's just, you know, depending on the arm length. What we got for arm measurement? That usually tells you.
He's got to look that up.
If he's like 36 or 37, then yeah, he can play tackle. But I mean, this is something they seriously talk about in terms of when you go from college to the NFL is how long are his arms at the offensive line position?
Looking it up right now.
I wish we had the Jeopardy music.
I might be setting myself up for failure.
They go back to Auburn. He can get that in the meantime. They go back to Auburn here. Round 6, pick 192 overall. DJ James from Auburn. I read I don't know what this really means. You know how Twitter is, but I remember seeing something on there that said this honestly could be the steal of the draft. The Seahawks usually have at least one of those headlines late in the draft, I feel like, almost every single time. And maybe DJ James from Auburn is it. And, I mean, he comes in with his partner from Auburn, so he's got to have some familiarity right there. And why not build some chemistry in this defensive backfield, right, Lofa?
I have his number. So are you ready?
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Wingspan.
Arm length, 32 inches, 7/8". And then hand size, 9 7/8". Wingspan is 80 3/4".
Pretty good wingspan.
Yeah, does that say guard or tackle to you?
It's guard. A guard. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
They've had success moving people around before. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
All right. DJ James.
What do you got for DJ? What's speed? What's he lean on?
Well, he began his college career at Oregon, spending three seasons there. So from the Pac, whatever it was at the time, 12, I suppose, to the SEC. In his time at Oregon, he started in 11 games, 46 tackles, 2 interceptions, 4 passes defended. And then after a coaching change, he went into the portal and ended up at Auburn for his final two seasons, where he started 22 of 24. 8 passes defended, leading the team last season with 10 last season. Oh, 8 in his first year, 10 in his last season. 75 tackles, 3 interceptions over those 2 seasons. So,
it's a lot of action.
Yeah.
And you like to see the picture with the football in his hand.
He says,
another one right there.
His quote, going into the NFL, I'm ready to play whatever position they need me to play. If that's nickel, if it's outside corner, I can play them both. If they want me to play on special teams, I can do that too. I feel like that's what I'd say if they were asking me what I could do in the NFL.
Well, anything you want, bud. Answer. Yeah, put me wherever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the correct answer. But, you know, some kids, no, they just – when they go to the interview process, they say, nah, I'm just going to be, you know, a corner. Just keep me outside. I forget what team it was. They asked me how I felt about moving to safety. I said, are you kidding me? Like, they were like, yeah, we'd like you to, because I was active in the pass game, right? They're like, we run too high. And I was like, okay, you're going to draft me and ask me to do something I've never done. Like, we're serious right now.
You mean run fast?
Yes. Right. So yeah, they go, how do you feel about losing like 7 or 8 pounds and playing like at 225? And I said, everybody else, all 31 other teams say I'm too small, so I'm going to gain weight and play linebacker.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna take a chance with them.
Which teams it was that was asking that?
I don't, it was just one team.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just thankful that they didn't draft me and make me a safety.
Well, rounding out the Seahawks draft here is a guy who assuredly will not play safety. pick number 207 overall, Michael Jarrell from the University of Findlay.
Where is that?
I don't know. I don't know. But McNasty is putting things up here
on the
screen.
I'm on it.
So, yeah. 207 overall. And I you got to root for a guy who's from a smaller place anyway. Why not? And so I'm rooting for him right away. And he's big. And why not?
Yeah, the highlights, he looks like a phenomenal athlete. It's just the question, okay, the competition that he's playing against.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Like how many of those guys, I'm guessing it's Division II. Like how many make the.
It's in the GMAC.
Up to the NFL.
He was lineman.
It's Ohio.
It's in Ohio. Ohio. It's in the GMAC. He was lineman of the year in 2023. Started 40 straight games to end his career. Allowed only 17 sacks while paving the way for a rushing attack that averaged 177 per game at the University of Findlay.
No, he looked like he belonged in Division One. Like, you know, so that's the good news. And athletically and just, you know, gifted. Just, you know, there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then jumping up, you know, to play against the best of the best. But, yeah, it was another lineman. You know, I like what we did through this whole draft.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, we've always had one or two in every draft since John got here. Late round gems. Sherm, Cam, you know, just Malcolm Smith. The list goes on. There's so many guys that have produced from that second, third day. So I'm excited.
Yeah, man, me too. I think, like, I guess I'm a little surprised at, like, no edge rusher or something like that a little bit. Or is that the linebacker?
We got, like, 20 edges.
No, I know. But they, you know, all right.
You can't play everybody.
No, I know. All right.
Chana's back.
Yeah.
That was a huge loss last year. Not just from a production standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint. He is a monster.
All right, I'm surprised no late round running back.
I mean, didn't we get three last year? Like,
all right. No receivers, not one receiver.
No, yeah, Roma Dunze.
That just tells me
you weren't going to get Roma Dunze too high.
Yeah, but that just tells me, from a special team standpoint, they're happy with what they have right now. Those are usually who gets added in, you know, rounds 5, 6 through. Very rare do you get a seventh round Chris Carson like we did. Like a guy that, you know, just is that dude and drops all the way down, you know, to round 7. So I'm not surprised. Actually thought we probably targeted the guys that we need and want. And so I guarantee, and you don't know what you have until 2 or 3 years from now, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but I came away thinking we did a great job and happy with this draft.
Yeah. I think this is going to be one of those drafts that we'll look back on as a foundation builder, new coach. I mean, new regime in place. Seems like there was a lot of building blocks, cornerstones, yada 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 for the future, and I think we will see it pay off. Undrafted free agents. We love talking about these guys.
Oh, who we got?
Just notably, they brought in Westover from Washington.
Yes.
The just hard-working tight end, catch it with one hand on third down every time you needed it, kid who, I'm pumped to see them bringing that guy in, local guy, and a guy who I think can really make a team and feels a lot like kind of like a Nick Ballor type guy. You know, a bit in that way.
Yeah, he's
just kind of a do-it-all, jack of all trades.
I was really surprised that he didn't get drafted. Like you said, every time they needed a big play, you know, he made it happen. Mm-hmm. Very versatile, run blocking, catching, everything. So, don't be surprised if, you know, he's one of those guys that flies on the radar but makes it, you know, just because of his ability to not just play tight end but special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did we get? Do you have the full list of
I don't have the full McNasty. Can you pull that up, because then you can have it here on our screen and we can just read it. The undrafted guys. Let me take a second here for epicseats.com, everybody. Epicseats.com back again for another season. We do appreciate their sponsorship and being here and all that kind of stuff. Local company doing it well. If you need seats for anything, you go see our guy Jimmy Seats and everybody at epicseats.com because they got you covered. And it's not just local events in Seattle. This is a global thing. If you're anywhere in the world and you need seats to anything, concerts, sporting events, I mean, maybe you're in Europe, you want to go see a football match on the pitch, you just go check out epicseats.com.
Your British accent is so bad. It's my favorite thing about you.
Maybe you're in Texas. You want to go see? All right, listen, it's epicseats.com, everybody. Mention that Take 12 sent you, and you can take 12% off when you spend $100, or if you're selling seats that you already have, because maybe you're down here in California, and you...
That's your normal one. Just talk normal.
And you want to sell your seats. You just do that with Epic Seats. We love them and thank them for sponsoring the show. The rest of the draft, guys, the other things that happen in the draft, while McNasty still gets us our undrafted free agents.
Oh, I'm ready.
I know, but just a second. Lofa, USC, the most ever number one overall picks now. That distinction goes to your beloved Trojans. Fight on. And so Caleb Williams to the Bears. And, I mean, your thoughts? Did you know it was a lock? And then the run on quarterbacks up top. Like, just let's get some perspective on the whole thing here.
Yeah, everyone knew Caleb was going one overall.
Yep.
For, like, the last 2 years. Let's get serious. He just had to wait for the day. And then just all the pieces they have around him, man. Yeah. It's, like... It's going to be fun to watch. Like you said, you got Rome there, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. Like, those are three legit number ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know Keenan's a little older now, but just he still produces. So, if they can protect him, get that running game going, like, he should take off from the start. That's how good Caleb is. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
excited about that.
And then the quarterbacks right away. Jaden Daniels goes next. Drake May goes next.
Drake May.
And then down at 8, the Falcons take Penix. And then, I mean, and then it just keeps going. J.J. McCarthy, Minnesota, and Bo Nix to the Broncos. Denver. So in the top 12, I mean, this was the quarterback draft, man. Like, this should be one of those drafts we look back on in years. And just all these guys are, you know, breaking records and faces of their franchises. Shouldn't they be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple will and a couple won't.
Sure.
It's just the way it works, right, how it falls. But, yeah, this was a talented QB class for sure. And, yeah, I just want to bring it back to Atlanta. I didn't understand. Now, I know I love the thought and reasoning because when you give a kid an opportunity to sit for a year or two and learn, look at Rodgers and look what he's become.
Oh, you mean, right? Because they have Cousins? Or because they signed Cousins?
Yeah, look, right. Yeah, even Tom Brady sat behind Bledsoe for a year or two.
Yeah,
like, just that has shown to be a better recipe for success. But, like, that was my whole point when I said I thought Atlanta would go after Russ because Denver's still paying him. So kind of what Pittsburgh's doing, right? And then, okay, you draft a guy, you know, early if you want. Because but right now – I mean, by the time he actually, if he plays out there, like, was he going to be 27, 28? And then you're going to need to pay him a big deal. And
right, because you've been paying him the rookie minimum to sit there and hold the clipboard.
You don't get the benefit of the rookie scale, wage scale.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was just kind of puzzling to me.
Well, it's a weird, how it happens. Well, yeah, it's a weird thing, especially with the Cousins thing, because it's like either you're saying you don't think he's gonna be able to do it, or he's gonna get injured like he has in the past, or you think Penix could challenge him for the job. Well, then why'd you sign him? Yeah, it's I don't know, but maybe he was just the best player on the board when it came to 8,
yeah.
And they just, yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that.
They grab him.
Just be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we'll see.
Well, they could have grabbed Cousins a receiver named Rome Odunze, because 8 and 9, Washington, baby. And they give Caleb Williams that weapon right there, right away. And this combo, like you said, is just going to be fun to watch. It's going to be sort of West Coast to watch there in Chicago, which will be fun. And it's just, I don't know, it's cool. Like, I'm pumped about it.
Yeah. And Polk and McMillan went too, right? You know, they had so many weapons there.
Yeah.
They were awesome to watch. So it's going to be fun to follow their careers in the NFL. I really like McMillan. I thought, you know, he just didn't get as many targets as the other two.
Right.
He made the most of every opportunity. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he does big things in the NFL.
Who were some guys you think we missed on taking anyone here? Or is there a guy that, like, you know, not, I mean, you know, it's hard to be like, oh, who should we have taken over? Who we take? That's not what I'm saying. I just mean, like, is there someone you were super pumped on that just either didn't get drafted or that the Seahawks didn't take a look at? Or
yeah, I, from a linebacker standpoint, I don't think there was anybody we missed on. Edge Cooper was, you know, the clear number one for me. He was the first linebacker taken by the Packers at 45. Then Peyton Wilson, I had rated, you know, pretty high too, but it's just the injury concern. That's what dropped him to the third round for Pittsburgh. And then the other guy that no one was talking about that did go in the third round, Carolina got him. Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky was a monster.
Really?
So, yeah, that's a name to remember. But no, I don't think, you know, like, we won't know for a couple of years, but, right. You know, we got our man Tyrese where we wanted him. And there are other guys that did fall. I had Jalen Ford rated pretty high. The kid from Texas, I think he went fifth round to the Saints. A name that nobody's talking about, Minnesota got. I wanted to get this guy in undrafted. I would have drafted him late rounds. His name's Bo Richter from Air Force. And the guy is a machine. And I would have tried him out at middle linebacker. And I think, you know, so when you draft that late, you can try guys at different positions, because he played rush edge for Air Force and he was a monster. 10.5 sacks, a couple fumbles, just relentless. And wow. So that's a guy that – so Minnesota got him. And then last year, a guy that Minnesota got that I really liked was Ivan Pace, out undrafted, out of Cincinnati. He was a day one starter for them. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Richter goes into Minnesota and makes the roster.
Wow.
Special teams and then – but, yeah, that's Pace right there. Dude had like 4 or 5 sacks, started day one undrafted. And I really feel like this Bo Richter is that guy for me this year in the draft.
Which of these quarterbacks is Landon in the best situation, you think?
Probably Caleb, not just because of his talent, but because of the talent that's around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think – if they just had more steady play out of the quarterback position, they would have made more noise in the NFC North. So, but trying to think who else. It's got to be Caleb.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They got the pieces there. Mm-hmm. And it's rare to be a number one and have pieces, right?
Right.
It's typically like you're getting drafted number one because they don't have much help, but they do. So it'll be exciting to see what he does.
Yeah, well, and they went for it here. Like, if you're him, it's not only did you get taken number one overall, and it's not like he's lacking for confidence, but it's got to give you just a ton of confidence when they go out and do everything else they did, just in this draft alone, and then the pieces that are already on the team. I mean, pretty.
Yeah.
Usually you get drafted number one overall, you know, not so
good
much
luck.
The case, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this seems pretty sweet for him, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Time will tell, obviously. Speaking of time, we're definitely probably out of time.
We're not out of time.
No, I know. I mean, we have things to do, but we're running late. Keep going.
I'm ready.
Our undrafted signings. Just go down the list, and I'll just see if I recognize any.
Siobhan Cordero is a good one.
Yes.
And then they brought in Tua's little brother, but he's not on the list for some reason.
Okay.
Oh, he's right there at the bottom, actually.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, let me see of these other names. Westover, we talked about, yes. I want you guys to remember Aaron Beasley, Tennessee. I watched film on him last year. Thought he was going to, you know, leave for the draft, but he went back to school. He can do it all. Beast. Okay. Easton Gibbs, Wyoming, historically, has continued to put out just savages at linebacker. So that is a name to watch.
Okay.
Let me see. Can you scroll down?
Yeah, give us that bottom one there. Got a couple Washington State Cougars on there.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. Devin Richardson, linebacker. Sam Lockett, the third, a safety. Tua's little brother's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So, those are the names that I recognize. Cordero. I think I remember Helani from Boise State, the running back. Yeah. Keep an eye on Beasley and Gibbs.
At linebacker. Yeah. Nice. Nice. I love rooting for the undrafted guys. Who doesn't?
I mean, you can only take so many. But every year, there's a guy that just comes in pissed off because he didn't get picked and just shows you why he should have got drafted.
Yep. Where were you on your draft day?
I was in Oceanside, San Diego. We had a little party there. I had no cell reception, which I think, isn't that what happened with Tyrese? Like, they couldn't get a hold of him?
Yeah.
John was having trouble. Well, yeah, so when I got picked, it came up on the board or on the TV before I got a call. So the whole place just erupted, food and drinks going everywhere. My agent calls me. He's like, dude, they've been trying to call you for the last 20 minutes. Like, and so I first call Holmgren's on there. He's like, hey, they told me you were smart. You didn't check for cell reception? I was like, my bad, coach. Won't happen again.
Funny.
That was my introduction to Mike Holmgren. It was not awesome way to meet the big guy.
You hang up the phone, you're like, I think my new boss doesn't like me already.
I hope I'm not fired already.
I'm gonna have to put this plate down and go run some hills or something. Like, the work starts now.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Speaking of the work starts now, everybody, this season is off and running, and thanks for checking out Take 12, your family for the Seahawks all season long. He's Lofa. She's Katie. I'm Brett. That's McNasty. Our guy Ryan is here listening in somewhere. Thanks for tuning in. Check out our sponsors, EpicSeats.com, and also BetOnline. BetOnline, your number one source for all the summer sports this season. Bet online where the game starts. We'll see you next time. Oh, we got to break it down. Like we're in the huddle. You know that my little league team this season, Lofa, is the Red Sox. Have I mentioned that?
Let's go.
Yeah, dude. So so many times a week, I'm like, Red Sox on three, Red Sox on me.
I'll go Red Sox with you.
Red Sox?
No, I don't have to. It's just that every time I say break it down for the last few months, that's the next thing that comes out of my mouth.
Can we break down the Mariners' first place record?
Oh, hey. Do it.
Hey.
Yeah. And then give us a break.
Pitching in the MLB by every metric ever?
Dude, first of all, McNasty, I love that you're excited, and you know I'm excited, but the first rule of being a Mariners fan is when it's going well, you got to shut the hell up and not talk about it.
All right, we'll talk about the hitting, which is terrible. We're beating the Braves, though. I'll take it.
Oh, man. What? Come on, somebody. What? Katie, quick. What are we breaking down to?
Give us some Mariners.
Let's go.
All right. Trident's up on me. Trident's up on three. Trident's up. Did I fuck it up?
You have to say 1, 2, 3.
Wait, you have to say 1, 2, 3.
All right, restart. That was a warm up.
No, that's it. Bye.
Trident top. Oh, my God.
I wasn't ready.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.